Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. I'm Rob Logan. On this episode, my good friend Chris Merle and I talk about the shocking announcement of Coach Wright's retirement and what might be next for the legendary coach. We also talk about Coach Neptune and talk a bit about what's ahead for the Nova program. All that and more on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. Welcome back, Nova Nation. It's the Nova Nation podcast. I'm Rob Logan, along with my good friend Chris Merle. Chris, how are you doing?
Great, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Chris, we were going to start the show off by giving a little background and a little bit of reasoning of why we haven't been doing as many podcasts, and it's pretty much on me. And we were going to talk, you know, about the end of the season and all that stuff, but in the meantime of us doing that, this huge, huge, big news announcement came through last night. Coach Wright has decided to hang up the coach's whistle and retire. Completely out of left field. I have some speculation on that. We can talk about that a little bit. But let's just talk right now. Coach Wright retiring. What do you think with him no longer at the helm? What do you think that means for the program? Do you think the program, the Nova way, still stays intact? I know it's very early to tell, but where do you see things going from a program standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big change initially. It's just going to be a shock to not see him on the sideline and see him in those interviews, because he's been a fixture, not just in the Big East, but, you know, nationally. Mm-hmm. And put Nova back on the map in a big, big way. Built the program from, you know, a pretty down time in the early 2000s to where it is now, where, you know, you're talking about Sweet 16s and Final Fours and two rings, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So it will probably never be the same as far as that aspect. Hopefully Coach Neptune can keep it at the level that it's at. But I'm sure there'll be some similarities to what Jay Wright was doing, and they'll keep some of the same philosophies. Hopefully he was there for 10 plus years on the bench. So I think you'll see some same things and some different, and he'll put his own spin on it, and hopefully he can keep it going.
I hope so. Now, the one other thing I want to talk about, and, you know, we can kind of take this from our view, being maybe a player or somebody like that, but do you think what the effects are going to be on the returning players like Justin Moore? We just got told last night that Brandon Slater will be back. He's coming back. The new recruits coming in. You have Armstrong coming in as a guard. So you have players coming in, players returning. What effect do you think, if any, do you think some of these players that have committed, do you think they maybe take another look at that? Or do you think everything will kind of stay the same and we'll just roll into the next season?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it looks like it's going to stay the same. We'll find out. I mean, I don't know if anyone has entered the transfer portal yet.
No.
Okay, so
no.
That's a good sign. And if the recruits haven't decommitted, if they've already signed their intent and they are planning on coming, even though that the coach has left, because I think you can enter. Can't you decommit if a coach has left?
Yes.
Right.
If there's so, things like that, yep.
Yeah, there's a window. I think you can do that. So I know you can in football. So it looks like things are going to stay status quo for now.
I believe they will too. We can talk a little bit down the line about Coach Neptune and how things are going to be. But as far as these returning players, I mean, Coach Wright built a program. He built a kind of like a way of life for these kids. I don't think, especially the kids that have been there for a year or two, I don't know how they would be going somewhere else. And I'll give you a great example. Cole Swider going to Syracuse. I don't think he really fit in at Syracuse at all. And I think he entered the portal again, if I'm not mistaken. I thought I heard that.
Oh, wow. Well, he does get the extra year of eligibility because of COVID.
Right. And I think,
I mean, the only way he did fit in was, you know, we always used to talk about how he struggled playing man-to-man defense, and Syracuse plays a lot of zone, mostly zone. So right. In that aspect, he did kind of fit in there. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I just don't think that these players, they're going to be used to the system. Hopefully all the assistant coaches will be back with Coach Neptune. So I don't think it's going to be that crazy of a transition from.
Hey, were you surprised that they didn't I know Neptune seems to be maybe they were grooming him for the job, but you know, he had already left and gotten a head job, and I know Nardi was a former player. Were you surprised they didn't offer it to Nardi?
It's funny you say that, because I had this discussion with somebody who's a huge Villanova fan today, and we were texting back and forth, and I threw out the name Nardi. I just think for how big of a program right now Villanova is, I think they want it at least some kind of head coaching experience. Now, I know Neptune only coached for a year at Fordham, but it's still a head coach position. I think they were looking for something or somebody with a little bit more experience than, you know, Nardi and Hargrove and those type of guys. That's my opinion. And I think that's the reason why they went and reached out to Neptune. But, you know, real quick, I mean, we can talk about this. Obviously, everything going down last night the way it did, we had this discussion briefly earlier. I don't think it went the way that Coach Wright wanted it to go. Tonight, there's a senior banquet. It's a big deal there at Villanova. I know that he didn't want to take away anything from his players. And obviously this did, because now everybody is talking about this. So I definitely think something was going on. Something might have happened at the school where something might have gotten leaked, and Wright had to react the way he did, because obviously by him coming out last night, within hours, you don't have a deal in place with Coach Neptune already. So I think this was definitely something that was on Coach Wright's mind this year, obviously towards the end of the year. I heard some things where they were kind of going back and forth with, you know, maybe some more money for him to try to get him to, you know, come back. It's all kind of hearsay right now. But this definitely didn't go down the way Coach Wright wanted it. Obviously I haven't spoken to him, but I can kind of tell the guy that he is, this is not the way it happened. So it kind of sucks now that they have this senior banquet tonight. I'm sure it's going to be a lot different from what everybody anticipated being. So we'll see how things go. But I don't think it's going to affect the players as much as we think. Just to kind of move along a little bit and talk a little bit about Coach Neptune. I mean, obviously he had 10 years experience with Jay Wright. The one thing and the biggest thing that I can say about Coach Neptune, is he is a great recruiter. A lot of the players on those two championship teams back in 16 and 18 were recruited by Coach Neptune. He's a great, great, great recruiter. Just look at Fordham's results this past year. Fordham went 16 and 16 this year with Coach Neptune. The prior year, they were 2 and 12. Prior year before that, 9 and 22. So he even, within a year, kind of turned things around a little bit and was headed in the right direction with Fordham within a year. So I know he has big shoes to fill, but Coach Neptune is a good, very, very good coach, very good recruiter. I think he's a player's coach, which will keep players wanting to still come to Villanova and play at Villanova. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think that you talked about building a program. I think at this point, the program is so solid, and the foundation was laid. Even with Jay Wright leaving, I think they're still going to be able to maintain their image, their brand.
Yes.
And you're going to get kids that are going to want to come there. It's a top level Big East program. They're in contention every year. You know, you're right outside Philadelphia. You're in a big market. You're playing on Fox. I think they're going to be fine in the recruiting area. I have no question on that.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the accolades of Coach Wright: two national championships. He was the AP Coach of the Decade for 2010s. Four Final Four appearances, and obviously inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Definitely big, big, big shoes to fill for Coach Neptune. But like I said, I don't think the program itself is going to change. So I would definitely – I'm very optimistic on where things are going with the program. And Coach Neptune is a player's coach. So these kids are going to like playing for him. I know Coach Wright would kind of sometimes only play six guys, seven guys in a rotation, and some other guys wouldn't get playing time. And, you know, that's just how Coach Wright was. And, you know, you don't obviously second guess somebody with the credentials that Coach Wright has. So, you know, maybe some of these younger kids get more time, get more playing time, and that's something that they're going to like. And it's going to help the program even more, I think.
Yeah. And the, those three recruits that were very highly thought of, Armstrong, Whitmore, and Housen, it looks like they all signed.
Right.
So, you know, it looks like they're going to try to keep it going.
Yeah. 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 So that's obviously huge, huge news. And obviously we all wish Coach Wright the best in his retirement. I did see and read in an article that he's staying on as a special assistant to the president of university. So I think he will still be around here and there to, you know, kind of oversee things and watch over things a little bit. So I definitely don't think that he's just going away. I still think he'll be involved unless a year or so from now, all of a sudden he gets an itch to coach, and who knows what happens. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
it always seems like the unretirement tour is a big theme right now with everybody.
You know, people are already throwing things out there, which are, you know, there's no substantial evidence, If the 76ers would fire Doc Rivers, you know, would they try to lure Jay or, you know, the Knicks? I've heard the Knicks, the Nets, if they're fed up with Steve Nash, even, you know, now the Lakers have an opening. And that LeBron might, you know, I guess he has a relationship with him with through the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know, would he try to leverage to get Jay Wright to coach the Lakers? So you hear all these things. But, you know, I was just wondering, you heard maybe something. Why did he retire? What's the reason? I mean, I knew he's 60. That's not really old in today's society, whether you're going to hang it up. If I hope I look as good as him when I'm 60.
Yeah.
You know, were you hearing anything or?
No. The why is definitely a big question. I know from reports and what I've read over the last couple of years, he doesn't like the way college basketball, how it's kind of going with the whole transfer portals and, you know, all these players having the ability to kind of just move around and everything like that. I know he did not like that whatsoever. It's probably why he only signed one player so far ever from the portal. And obviously, you know, it came from, you know.
Was that Caleb Daniels?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I think he definitely started to get a bad taste of things. And maybe he just, you know, he doesn't want to really deal with it anymore on a day-to-day basis. You know, maybe he just got to that point. I mean, look at Coach K, kind of. He alluded to it that he didn't like the whole way the system is going. And maybe that's it. You know, maybe this was his way of, you know, he had a good year. He had a good run, made the Final Four, and kind of just go off. I will say something, though, about the Sixers. I don't think he would coach any other team in the NBA. I think there's only one team he would want to coach, and that's Philadelphia. If for some reason the Lakers truly, truly want somebody like Doc Rivers as their coach, and Doc decides to make a jump, or, I mean, it doesn't look like that the way they're playing right now. Obviously, they're up 3-0 against the Toronto Raptors, and it looks like they're going to go, you know, kind of deep into the playoffs. But if for some reason, if Rivers did get fired, I can 100% guarantee you that somebody from the Sixers is going to give Jay Wright a call. It's going to happen.
Right. I'm sure it will. Yeah.
You know, that they'd be a fool not to do that. You know?
And yeah. And I was hearing the Nets. I was hearing the Nets because of Durant. And Kyrie, again, through USA Basketball, have somewhat of a relationship with Wright.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Nash was a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a very inexperienced coach. And maybe they're looking for something different there. I don't know. I don't know if he'd go to – I don't know if he'd want to go to Brooklyn.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Do you actually think the type of players that Durant – and Irving are, that they would want a person or a coach like Jay Wright, who, you know, it's his way or the highway. You know what I mean? Like, obviously he would have to make some different changes being in the NBA, but
yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see the Nets want a coach to just sit on the sidelines and smile and let Irving and Durant win games for him. I mean, that's all Nash is doing right now, smiling on the bench, because he ain't doing anything. That's all, you know, Kyrie and Durant. So
yeah,
I don't think they would go that level. Now,
I'll tell you what, I think the Knicks would maybe like offer him a ton of money.
Right.
That would be another franchise I could see maybe making a run at them.
Right. But, the Knicks,
they're far away from winning. They're not really set up to win.
They're not set up to win. Now, you know, the Sixers are set up to win. And, you know, maybe that disciplined approach, bringing it to, you know, the likes of Embiid and Harden and some of these other guys, maybe that, you know, maybe that's the answer. You know, you don't know. But like I said, if things go the way they do and the Lakers want Rivers for some reason and they go after him and he either leaves voluntarily or the Sixers, you know, fire him, I can guarantee you a phone call is going to Jay Wright. You know, whether he takes it, don't know. I guess that's where we'll see if he truly is against coaching again. But I can guarantee you a phone call is being made.
Let me throw another one out there too. Not coaching. Bill Raftery, okay, and his announcer does Fox, and he also does the CBS, the TNT coverage of the tournament. Mm-hmm. He's about 80 years old.
Yes.
Do you think maybe the networks is Jay? You know, Bill's going to step aside. We want you to be our number one play by play guy with Nance and Grant Hill.
Chris, that is an excellent question, observation. That could possibly be. That I would not doubt that. I mean, obviously Wright is good on the mic.
He's so good. I mean, he, even in those like little post game interviews that are like 2 minutes.
Right.
I mean, those are even good. He's good in press conferences. You know, he's obviously knows the game. I think he'd be really good. And again, I don't want to tie it into another sport, but as you see what Tony Romo did with no experience, you know, being able to step into an NFL booth, whether you like him or not. I know there are some people who do not care for his style, but he has been successful and the networks paid him big, big money. So I would just wonder, you know, Jay doesn't really have broadcasting experience, but he's so good in interviews. He's so good speaking. Would they offer him, you know, not, I'm not talking like a Tuesday night game doing like the Atlantic 10 or on NBC Sports Philadelphia doing LaSalle and Penn. You know, we're talking about the like I said, if Raftery decides to hang it up, the number one seat in Fox. Right. And then the tournament.
Right. I mean, because you looked at most of the games Rafferty did during the season were Big East games on Fox Sports.
Yep.
And I mean, I guarantee you, I'm sure Wright would like that, being able to announce these, you know, being still a part of the Big East.
Yeah. And he knows all the coaches. He knows all the programs. I mean, why not? All the
players.
The travel's not terrible, you know. Yeah, Creighton and Marquette, I get it, you know, but, you know, you're not going to do those games consistently and be doing UConn and, you know, the St. John's and things like that, and Providence. It's not too bad.
No, Chris, that's a great, great observation and great point. And who knows, that could be something you know, should watch out for that. Because,
well, listen, how about
like a good fit.
How about even bigger? Dick Vitale has some health problems.
Yeah.
Could he be the new face of ESPN basketball?
Listen, he could be the face of wherever he wanted to go.
No, I'm just saying.
You know?
You know? Yeah. And ESPN, again, ESPN will shell out the money. They're not shy.
No. That would be a little bit more of a rigorous, though, traveling schedule.
Right, because you have to do all the appearances on SportsCenter, and you're doing appearances on those game day where they go to the different campuses and stuff like that. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that would be a little bit more, but still feasible, though. It's still, I'm sure it's not as bad as coaching, as the amount of time you're putting in for coaching, you know?
They could write him a very big check.
Yes.
So if that's what he wants to do, it might be available to him. We don't know. We just don't know.
Yep. I guess we'll wait and see. Let's go real. I don't want to say real quick, but let's talk a little bit about the we every year we do a little wrap up of the season. Great Final Four run for this year's team. How big do you think the injury to Justin Moore affected the Nova team in the Final Four?
It did affect them. I thought they played well in the first 10 to 15 minutes of the game once they calmed down a bit. But I think they were a scorer short. I think they were a scorer short. He would have helped. Would they would have won that game? Not sure. Would it have been a little closer maybe? Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. So it did affect them. I mean, before the season, I kind of predicted them to be Sweet 16 to Final 8 type team. They got a really good draw, like we talked about in our last pod. Mm-hmm. But I think just Kansas was just a little too long and athletic.
Right.
You know, and I think having more would have helped, even on the defensive end, because you had a guy like the kid in the second half, he got hot, Brown, mm-hmm. Christian Brown. You know, and there's really nobody that can guard him on Nova. Yeah. You know, if Moore's there, maybe he could take him on. So, you know, it would have helped. It definitely would have helped. But all in all, it was a successful run, obviously, you know.
Oh, yeah, and it was
– one of their best.
Right, and it was a shame that injury happened when it did, because – you really would have liked to have seen Villanova full strength against Kansas full strength. I definitely think it would have been a lot closer of a game, just from the standpoint of the athleticism that Moore brings to the team, and obviously the scoring. That was definitely, like you said, they were kind of one score short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other players did step up. I mean, Slater stepped up, had a great game. Obviously, Colin still has a great run there. So,
yeah,
a lot of people did step up, and it was a shame that injury did happen when it did. You know,
do you think he's back?
Well, that's actually going to be the next question that I was going to ask is, we can kind of look ahead a little bit for next season. I know it's very, very early, but Slater has already committed to coming back for another season. So I believe from what everything that I've heard so far, and it's very early, I do believe Moore is coming back for his senior season.
Now he's going to have to rehab. Would he be able to make it back by like December, or would it be a little longer recovery? You know,
that's a good question, because they really haven't gotten into how long he's going to be up. Obviously, you know, it behooves him to, or it benefits him to come back, because he's not going to be healthy enough before the draft. He's not going to be able to go to a combine to show or try to move up, you know, some spots there. So it really, you know, it all points to him rehabbing, doing what he needs to do, and then coming back for next season. So I guess, you know, season usually starts, I mean, serious practicing October, right? The end of September, October.
Yeah. Remember they used to do Midnight Madness. I mean, a long time ago it was on Halloween, but it's moved up. I think it's like the second, third week in October.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. You could, you know, possibly see him coming back and being ready. I mean, he's walking around right now, no crutches and just a boot. So, I've seen pictures of him on campus. So that's a good thing. Colin was obviously able to, you know, rehab and do what he needed to do in order to get back for the season this year. So,
yeah,
very hopeful that he will be back. And with him coming back, I mean, you really do have, you know, you have Moore and probably Longino as your two guards. You haven't heard anything about Daniels yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Daniels having a pretty good run there at the end.
I'll tell you what, he was probably in February and March, he was probably their MVP.
Right.
There were stretches when he carried them. Right. And his offensive game got much, much better. And even on the defensive end, he improved. It seems like he understood what they were trying to do on the defensive end more this year. Remember, I know last year you used to complain he used to get a lot of silly fouls.
Yes.
Yeah, and this year he seemed to be in better position, and he understood the game more. And I was very impressed with his offensive game this year. Very impressed.
Chris, it's just a matter of being on the court. With all those stupid fouls he was getting, he never was able to get in any type of rhythm, because the time he was in there, he'd be out just as quick. Because
yeah, and he used him as a starter last year, and I think coming off the bench this year for him was probably a better
fit. Right.
Yeah, but if he comes back next year, he'd have to start.
Well, obviously. So
yeah.
He's up in the air. But I mean, my thought would be it would be beneficial to have him come back too, just for himself. I mean, right now, if he doesn't come back, he's not really a prospect to get drafted. And then, mm-hmm. What are you going overseas or something like that? So to me, it would be better for him to come back as well. So if those three guys come back, you got Slater, you got Daniels, you got Longino, you got Moore, and then you got Dixon as your starting five.
Right. And then again, we keep talking about Brian Antoine, Trey Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
I know Njoku we didn't get to see, and then you have a kid they recruited from Virginia as a pure point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Angelo
Breezy.
We didn't get to see him.
Right.
And then you have the three signees, the three freshmen.
Whitmore, I'll tell you this. And, now that Coach Wright is not there and his philosophy of playing younger kids is hopefully maybe not as much with Neptune, but that Whitmore, he's going to be a player, and he's going to need playing time, because I saw clips of him in the McDonald's All-American game. And I mean, he was a man amongst boys at that McDonald's All-American game. So he needs to get some playing time.
Okay.
So, they're going to be stacked. They're going to be stacked again. They're going to have a lot of talent. It's just a matter of how they use it. And obviously, with Coach Wright not being there and being a new coach, you don't know exactly what everybody's roles are going to be. But the talent will still be there for next year. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of competition for playing time.
Right, which is good.
It is.
What do you think? What do you think is ahead for Colin and Jermaine Samuels? I've read some of the latest mock drafts have Colin going late in the second round. Because he has kind of moved up a little bit. Obviously, stock could even rise a little bit more, if they have a good combine and everything. Do you see Colin getting drafted and being a backup point guard in the NBA?
Oh, I do. Listen, he's probably better than about, I could probably rattle off about 20 backup point guards he's probably better than in the league right now. I mean, honestly.
Okay.
But I think they'll just say he can't defend, like he'll get exposed on the defensive end, which honestly I think is a lot of BS sometimes. He's a good, gritty enough, smart enough player. He can shoot the three, which is a big deal at the next level. He's a good ball handler. He's a good passer.
He's smart.
He can definitely stick at the next level. I mean, is he as good as Brunson? I don't know.
Dude, you know? Brunson just dropped 41 the other night.
Yeah, no, he's probably not right. But is he better than Archie Diacono? I'm going to say yeah, and he's still in the league.
Yeah.
You know, is he better than TJ McConnell that used to play for the Sixers? I think so.
Yeah, better shooter.
You know, he's still banging around.
Yeah.
You know, so if it was me, yeah. Samuels, I don't know. Samuels is interesting. He plays like an old-fashioned style ball, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like his game, like if he came out in the 90s, he would have been like like a first round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what scouts think of him. He could be like a glue guy, you know what I mean? Coming off the bench, does a little bit of this, does a little bit of that. He's got good size, not great size. He's kind of out of position. You know, he's got like a small forward size, but he doesn't play that type of game. You know, like Sadiq Bey, who was a great shooter, you know, had nice length, 3 and D. I don't know if Samuels can be 3 and D in the NBA.
Right.
You know, but we'll see.
I think the one little drawback he may have is just his shooting. Going into the league, you know, Sadiq, even Mikal Bridges, those guys had a little bit more consistent shot,
big time, yeah. Even Earl,
right.
Yeah, even Jeremiah Robinson Earl, yeah.
So I mean, I think that's where he's going to run into a little bit of an issue. But as far as basketball IQ, doing what is needed to win games, the dirty work, whatever you want to call it, he would definitely be an asset on any team, especially some of these younger teams that, like you said, he plays an older style type of ball. And, that's needed on some of these young teams that are just flying around and just chucking up shots, you know?
Yeah, you're right. He would have to find the right fit. You know what I'm saying? Like Colin, I think Colin Gillespie could play anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, coaches probably would love to have him,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like I said, I think he's athletic enough. He can shoot. So he could definitely play at the next level. But we'll see if teams consider using a pick on him. That's the thing. I don't know. I know, like, a lot of times in the NFL with those later round draft picks, guys prefer not to be drafted so they can choose which team they go to.
Right.
They can look at the roster and see where they can go and have a better chance to stick. Whereas in the NBA, in that second round, I think guys prefer being drafted because it's a little easier road. Whereas if you're undrafted, then sometimes they might assign you to a G League team and things like that. So it might be better, more beneficial to be drafted and then become a free agent.
Yeah, I think that's how I kind of look at it too, from a basketball standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Better to get to that second round.
I think it's a lot more money too.
Right. Right. I mean, it's guaranteed. First round is guaranteed, obviously, but I think it's a little bit better to get signed than to try to catch on somewhere as a But I mean, Ryan, you know, Arch did it. So, I mean, it can be done.
And he stuck around. I mean, he's been in the league like 6 years now, right?
Yeah, with the Knicks.
So, yeah, he's on the Knicks. So,
we'll see. Well, I originally was starting the show off and was thinking of starting the show off and giving a little bit of background of what's been going on the last month with me and obviously the podcast. We haven't had as many episodes this year. We kind of missed the March Madness a little bit. Didn't have as many podcasts as we wanted to. And the big reason was because of me and what was going on in my personal life. And having my mother, who passed away at the end of March, and just kind of dealing with all that. And even before that, dealing with a lot of stuff with her. But I wanted to start the show off and just real quickly talk and give a little shout out to my mom. But I'm going to do it now at the end of the show. So hopefully everybody sticks around and just checks this out. My mom was all about family. Family was very, very important to her, and it was everything to her. And she was so proud of how things turned out with my life, with, you know, me getting married with my wife, and definitely how things were going with my son. It's a shame that she didn't have more time to see him develop into the young man that he is going to develop into an older man and as he gets older. That's one of the biggest things that kind of affect me right now. She developed a series of bad health. She had real bad dementia towards the end, where her brain was telling her constantly that she wasn't hungry and that she didn't want food. So literally she was wasting away. She didn't eat at all. And she was down to like 70 pounds, maybe even less than that. So she broke her hip and she was in the hospital several times. And I did want to say how my family loves Princeton Medical. That hospital, all the nurses there, the doctors, they all took excellent, excellent care of her, treated her like gold. And sometimes she was definitely tough to treat because of how she became at the end there. But they all stuck with her, did great. I saw how they were and how they treated her. So I truly, truly appreciate that. But in the end, you know, she's definitely in a better place. She's not suffering anymore. And I can't look back on the 22nd, the day she passed, as a bad thing. It's just something that we all go through. And one of the things for me and how I got through everything was I made it a point during the whole memorial services and burial to not say the words goodbye to my mom. Because for me, it wasn't a goodbye. Even though she's no longer here on this earth, it wasn't a goodbye. And I refuse to say that. I can't wait to see her again down the road sometime, but it's never goodbye because now she's a part of me and she will continue to live on through me. And I know she'll be watching over my family and my son, who she walked on. My son walked on water for her. So it makes me feel at peace that she's no longer suffering. And my biggest thing that I learned through this whole ordeal was, you know, never take for granted that somebody is going to be here all the time. Make sure you tell the ones you love how much you do, because it's important, because you never know when it will be the last time they hear it. So I just wanted to say how much I love my mom. I want to thank her for everything that she's done for me my entire life. And I'm just so happy that she's at peace and everything is better for her. So I appreciate everybody who listens to this podcast. You guys are all part of my family, even though I don't necessarily know all of you. I'm sure most of our friends are people who do listen to this podcast. But I just wanted to say thank you. And just, I kind of apologize for not having more podcasts done. But I promise moving forward, we will continue this. We will have more. Chris, I think we should do, we talked about this over the summer. I want to do some different shows, maybe about some different topics other than just Nova basketball.
Sure.
I think, you know, let's talk music. Let's talk some other stuff, just to kind of get on the podcast and just talk for everybody who listens to us and continues to listen to us. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I appreciate each and every one of you who download, listen, like us on Facebook, whatever it is. I totally appreciate it. And it humbles me all the time to see just how many downloads we get on these episodes. So thank you again. And Chris, once again, thank you. You know, I thank all you guys, all of my friends who were there for me during this time. And I truly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Rob. It was well said. Thanks.
All righty, guys. Thank you for everything. And we will be back. And just check us out. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Rob. See you.
If you like listening to the Nova Nation podcast, go check us out on our website at www.novanationpodcast.com. Give us a like. Thanks.